This is Sustainable East End, a monthly show about land use, energy and water resources, transportation, and the farming and food industries on the eastern end of Long Island. With co-producer Tony Ernst, I'm Francesca Rhiannon. Over the past year or so, Sustainable East End has featured several episodes about the effort to bring something called Community Choice Aggregation, or CCA, to the East End. It's a way for municipalities to choose their own energy suppliers with an eye to increasing the use of renewable energy. Now, several towns are well on their way to implementing CCA. Southampton has already contracted with a CCA administrator, Jewel Assets, and East Hampton just passed legislation that will enable the town to establish a CCA program. But hurdles remain, rooted in the position Long Island finds itself as being under the jurisdiction of the Long Island Power Authority, or LIPA, for power supply and distribution. Those hurdles are the subject of two pieces of legislation brought by New York Assemblyman Fred Thiel. Today we hear from Assemblyman Fred Thiel, as well as from three other people who are playing key roles in bringing CCA to Long Island: Lynn Arthur, Energy Chair of Southampton Sustainability Committee, Gordian Rackey, Director of Renewable Energy Long Island, and Jessica Strombeck, Managing Director of Jewel Assets. Let's first review what community choice aggregation is. Gordian Rackey of Renewable Energy Long Island.
Community choice aggregation is a program where the incumbent utility, in our case LIPA and PSEG, still are in charge of delivering the power to all customers, and of course, billing customers for that service. But a town that adopts and forms a CCA can select where the power itself is coming from, and they can enter into longer-term contracts with companies called energy service companies that buy that power and sell that power to customers. So if these energy service companies can buy that power and hopefully renewable energy, they will then have that power delivered to the LIPA service territory. And LIPA and PUCG are responsible for delivering that power and providing the customer with billing for that, just like we always have.
That last point about billing presents some problems, as we'll hear about later. But first, a little more about the process. It all starts with a town government passing legislation enabling CCA to be established. Over the past year, several towns have done that, as Lynn Arthur tells us.
After Southampton adopted the enabling legislation, the next two towns to do that were Brookhaven and Hempstead. And subsequent to Southampton, Brookhaven also selected a CCA administrator. And Hempstead has kind of gone silent. They had a change in leadership. So East Hampton is now the latest to adopt that enabling legislation. But I'm also happy to tell you that I've been in conversations with many other municipalities, and the word is getting out, and there's a lot of interest.
After Southampton passed CCA legislation, the town chose Jewel Assets to administer the program. Managing Director Jessica Strombeck.
So a CCA's core is to empower local municipalities, villages, towns, what have you, to make choices that are really community-centered, community-focused, and choose electricity providers or solar providers that will be best for their population, their towns. And as an administrator, your job is to make sure they're successful. So we look after all of the practical details of bringing in bids, of making sure, you know, data transfers and providing advice to the town so that they can make an educated choice so that really, really benefits their own population, their own residents, and their own small businesses. So that's the core of what we do.
While a CCA program doesn't have to source power from renewable energy, the town's Jewel Assets work with see that as the, or at least major reason to do CCA.
Well, CCA is very important because anytime you have a choice, you can make a good choice, right? So what Jewel Assets is specialized in is when we are bringing in electricity bids, for example, we'll always make sure to get bids in from providers who will offer 100% renewably sourced electricity. And that means that when that town is moved over to those new electricity supply contracts, money is going to these renewable resources and is really supporting that market in a very, very direct way. Of course, what that does is simply create this vibrant, growing market for renewables because they have big groups of customers moving over onto them.
Another way Jewel Assets promotes renewables is through community solar. It's an example of how CCA programs can work with towns on projects that help the transition to clean energy. Lynn Arthur explains.
Another way CCAs can deliver renewable energy at a lower cost is by working with a CCA administrator to do projects. So, for example, CDG stands for Community Distributed Generation, and the most common way to wrap your head around what that means, it's like community solar. You know, people want solar on their house, but they can't for a variety of reasons, like too much shade, their roof is old, you know, they don't have good credit rating, so they can't get financing for the project. But an individual household could participate in a community solar project by as being an investor. Well, when you do a CDG project under a CCA program, all the members, the constituents of that municipality participate in the economic benefits and they don't have to do anything. For example, you could do a project like you could put a large array on municipal land, like a landfill, and you could then share the economic benefits of that project instead of the developer making all the money. Through a CCA, you could then share that benefit as credits onto the bills of all the constituents that are within that CCA.
Jessica Strombeck says that helps solar farm developers as well.
What we're able to do is say, advise the town that, hey, look, you've got these regional solar farms or these local solar farms. Let's move all the residents who fit onto it over to that solar farm, and all of a sudden that solar farm who was worried that they might not be able to sign enough people up and had to spend a ton of money on marketing and difficulty gaining investment because the investors didn't know if the farm would really take off, all of a sudden they've got all these subscribers and they're able to take off and build more solar farms. As well as, let's just add, that people's electricity prices are reduced. So when you move on to solar, community solar, everybody gets 10% off, guaranteed off of their electricity credits. So that's really, really powerful too. And that is also for low-income residents because there are no credit checks. So everybody can get onto that program.
That's great, right? But Long Island, we've got a problem. In the rest of New York, customers get their electrical power from investor-owned private utilities. Those utilities are regulated by the Public Service Commission, and that's made it easy for other regions to establish CCAs that not only bring renewable energy, but also provide that power at a cheaper price. But LIPA and the company it contracts with to actually distribute power, PSEG Long Island, are not subject to the jurisdiction of the Public Service Commission. Assemblyman Fred Thiel.
You know, the Public Service Commission throughout the rest of the state has issued an order. The purpose of that order is to really encourage CCA programs. And that PSC order is in effect in every part of the state except for Long Island. And CCA programs, you know, have been implemented and have worked fairly well in other parts of the state, such as Westchester. Now, because LIPA is separate and independent and is a separate state authority, as opposed to being served by a private utility, they are not subject to that order, which means that LIPA has attempted to implement its own program with regard to CCA. And that's where the problem arises. You know, LIPA has no real incentive to encourage Long Islanders to buy their power from another source, and really have put roadblocks in the forms of the tariffs that they implement that really make it economically not viable for towns like Southampton and East Hampton to move forward and to be able to implement a CCA program. So to put it in its simplest terms, there's one set of rules for the rest of New York State with regard to CCA, and there's another set of rules that LIPA implements with regard to CCA on Long Island. And LIPA's rules make it harder to do CCA on Long Island than it is in the rest of the state.
This is Sustainable East End. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, and we're talking today about the current state of bringing community choice aggregation, or CCA, to towns on Long Island that want to use the program to bring more renewable energy to their communities. And that LIPA CCA program Assemblyman Thiel mentioned is called Long Island Choice. And the tariffs he's referring to, well, it's kind of complicated. So we won't get into the weeds on them, but Lynn Arthur gives us the Cliff Notes version.
On a national level, we hear the word tariff and we think about tax. A tariff is, in the vernacular of energy, it's really, to me, I think about it as the terms and conditions under which a program operates. So in order for community choice aggregation to be allowed to exist in the LIPA region, which is Eastern Nassau and all of Suffolk County, the Board of Trustees at LIPA needed to approve a tariff. Back in 2016, the six other investor-owned utilities that serve the rest of New York State, they adopted a tariff because the Public Service Commission basically ordered them to. But LIPA is a vertically integrated, self-regulating utility. And so they didn't have to comply with that order back in 2016. And quite honestly, there was no interest on Long Island in CCA that had been expressed. So, you know, it's no surprise why LIPA didn't put resources towards doing that, because no one was asking for it.
But by 2019, Lynn Arthur and others were asking for it.
So what we did a year ago, almost to the day actually, was we designed and launched a marketing campaign with the aim of getting a tariff on the books. The first thing we did was we initiated a letter writing campaign, and we encouraged town supervisors, and in fact, East Hampton town supervisor also participated, as did Fred Thiel, as did Brookhaven supervisor and Southampton supervisor, to write letters to the Public Service Commission and to the LIPA Board of Trustees saying, hey, we're interested in this program, we'd like to see this program happen, and please put resources and funding towards getting a tariff on the books. We later issued a campaign to get public support, and we ended up getting a petition with over 1,000 signatures. We encouraged elected officials to write letters, and fortunately, County Legislator Fleming, she initiated a task force to study CCA. So the end result of all these activities was that the Public Service Commission made a recommendation to the LIPA Board in early May that they adopt a CCA tariff authorizing a program to launch on Long Island. They did that at the May 25th board meeting of this year.
But it isn't all smooth sailing just yet. The issue of the price of power is still outstanding. CCA programs in other parts of the state have been able to get renewable energy and lower electricity bills. But LIPA's tariffs, Long Island Choice, aren't so favorable to ratepayers, as Gordian Racky tells us.
LIPA has certain charges and credits right now that they apply to CCA customers. One hurdle, one big problem seems to be that LIPA has long-term contracts with power plants here on Long Island that provide both power and capacity. And when we buy power through the CCA from ESCOs, we still have to pay for some of the capacity costs that LIPA incurs under these long-term contracts with power plants here on Long Island. And that adds additional costs, and something needs to be done about that. Now, if it's kind of interesting, if LIPA was an investor-owned utility with shareholders, we could say to that utility companies, hey, you entered into these contracts, and that was a bad idea. You made a mistake, and your shareholders should pay for that mistake. With LIPA, unfortunately, we can't really make that argument because LIPA is a not-for-profit, it's public power, and the only shareholders that they have is us, the customers. So we can't say, well, your shareholders should eat that contract or the cost under that contract. The good news is that LIPA is considering to retire some power plants in the next couple of years, some of the older, more inefficient plants. If that happens, and as that happens, while there may still be some charges to be paid to the owners of the power plants to get out of those contracts and retire the plants, in the longer term, that begins to solve the problem, right? That doesn't help us today, but it may help us down the line. The Public Service Commission has also started a proceeding on the Long Island Choice Tariff, which is what governs these things when it comes to forming CCAs and what kinds of charges LIPA can put on CCAs and ESCOs. And so we'll have an opportunity there to push for a solution to this particular problem.
Assemblyman Thiel thinks that's a problem that goes deeper than LIPA's reluctance to ease the pathway to CCA adoption on Long Island. It comes down to LIPA's lack of accountability. Thiel has proposed two pieces of legislation that, if passed, would bring LIPA more under the purview of the Public Service Commission, with teeth for accountability.
The first bill, you know, I think addresses an issue that we deal with LIPA and PSE&G over and over again. And it's because of the way that our utility company is structured, in that, you know, we've got LIPA, which is a public authority, and is, you know, technically is our utility company, but they've basically contracted that out to PSE&G. And, you know, the problem with the way this is set up is that, you know, you've got three players. You've got LIPA, you've got PSE&G Long Island, and you also have the Department of Public Service Long Island, which is a separate office of the Department of Public Service that's set for only Long Island. You know, PSE&G, really, there's a real lack of transparency and oversight over how they operate. You have LIPA, which has really been scaled down. There's only like 50 employees, and they don't really have the resources to really oversee PSE&G. And then you've got the Department of Public Service, which really has no authority at all other than to make recommendations to LIPA. So, you know, it lacks in transparency and it lacks in accountability. And I don't think there was any clearer demonstration of that fact than there was with the tropical storm this year, where, you know, PSE&G clearly didn't have in place a plan to respond to the storm. And, you know, LIPA had no way of keeping them accountable. So, you know, I think the overall problem is that our utility structure is such that really lacks an accountability to the public and transparency. So the first bill that we're talking about is a bill that would provide the Public Service Commission with more authority over LIPA and over PSE&G. And it's a pretty simple bill. Periodically, under the LIPA statute, an independent audit of LIPA and PSE&G is supposed to be conducted. However, there's no enforcement mechanisms for those audits. So the audit could find evidence of fraud or mismanagement or malfeasance in the way that the utility company is being operated. And, you know, LIPA and PSE&G don't have to pay any attention to the audit. And in essence, what my legislation would do is that every time one of these independent audits is done of LIPA and of PSE&G, audit recommendations with regard to mismanagement and fraud and abuse, it would give the Public Service Commission to enforce that audit and make LIPA implement the recommendations that are being recommended in the audit. So it would provide at least some oversight of LIPA and of PSE&G.
That bill has passed both houses of the New York State Legislature and is awaiting the governor's signature. That has to happen before the end of this year. Assemblyman Thiel's second bill deals directly with CCA and will be brought up in the 2021 legislative session.
The bill that we're going to be putting in, and unfortunately the drafting of it is more complicated than how I'm going to state it, but the concept of the bill is simple, and that is my bill would require LIPA to utilize the same rules as the Public Service Commission in implementing CCA. In essence, the rules, regardless of where you are in New York State, whether you're under the jurisdiction of LIPA or under the jurisdiction of the Public Service Commission, would be the same. So we would enact a law that would prohibit LIPA from putting these stumbling blocks in the way of the towns. So we're in the process of drafting that bill. We had done a first draft. We'd gotten the input of Jewel and the input of the towns. We're working with our central staff in Albany to come up with a final draft. And our timetable is to get that bill in, you know, drafted, you know, in final form by the end of the year so that we can introduce it first thing in January when the new state legislative session begins.
Getting CCA up and running throughout New York State is an important piece in the jigsaw puzzle of implementing New York's groundbreaking new climate plan, as Gordian Racky explains.
So the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act is now the law of the land in New York State, is the most forward-looking and progressive legislation on climate and energy in the country. And it has very specific mandates and targets for all sectors of the economy to essentially decarbonize completely by 2050 and to have a 40% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by the end of this decade, by 2030, and specifically to electricity, which is what we're focusing on with CCA here in East Hampton and Southampton and other places. The Climate Act has a target to have 70% renewable electricity by 2030. Mm-hmm. So that means that we have to phase out fossil fuel power generation very quickly and replace it with solar and wind and other renewable power generation within just 10 years. And then by 2040, under that law, we have to have zero carbon electricity. So given the targets and the mandates that this law now has built in, we have to do these things. We have to do what the town of East Hampton already set as its goal back in 2014 and switch to renewables and do that very rapidly. We have to build the infrastructure for that. We have to have the laws and the regulatory mechanisms in place to make that happen, and CCA is one component of that. And that's why I'm hopeful that even while there may still be some regulatory hurdles with CCA here on Long Island, that ultimately we can overcome these hurdles because the state of New York, given that it has this forward-looking climate and energy legislation, will move in that direction. So that makes me very hopeful.
That's it for this month's Sustainable East End. We spoke today to Gordian Racky of Renewable Energy Long Island, New York Assemblyman Fred Thiel, Lynn Arthur, Energy Chair of Southampton Sustainability Committee, and Jessica Strombeck, Managing Director of Jewel Assets. Listeners who want to know more about bringing CCA to their towns or about supporting Assemblyman Thiel's legislation can go to sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. sustainableeastend.com. Sustainable East End is heard on the third Wednesday of each month at this time. Programs are archived at www.sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. Sustainable East End is produced by Tony Ernst and me, Francesca Rhiannon.